when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you wonderful, wonderful people out there in Blood River Radio Land. God Almighty, it's such a pleasure, such a privilege to be here doing battle for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and doing battle for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ people. And who are his people? I'm going to tell you who his people are. Anybody that believes in his heart and confesses with his lips that Jesus is the Son of God, he is truly a Son of God himself. It says so in Romans. But that's who a Christian is. If you believe, I'll say it one more time. But matter of fact, I had three people I talked to this week. Jim in Washington State, Jim Zim in Arizona, and Jason Robb in Arkansas. They all told me the same thing. Anyway, you're here with Blood River Radio. You're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. It's Memorial Day weekend. As my buddy James last week said, he said it's a Yankee holiday. Could be where we'll be. But it's May the 29th, in the year of our soul, Lord and Savior, 2021. We're going to have you a really good show tonight, and I'll introduce the guests in just a minute. But you know what? You know the drill in this show. You really do. We always, right off the bat, we always go to prayer. And you know, I think so. I started to call an audible on the prayer. I think Matt knows what it was, but I don't want to catch him flat-footed. But anyway, people, if you will, go ahead and bow your head, and we're going to say a quick but very, very sincere prayer. Almighty God in heaven, like I repeated what you handed down through divine inspiration in the Holy Bible. Oh Lord, it is written that he who believes in his heart and confesses with his lips that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he shall be saved. It is also written that he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's true. Our good brother, dear Lord, you heard him talk. Our good brother, James in Washington State, told me that very statement last week when we were praying together on the radio. Excuse me, on the phone, he said that very thing. And so, Lord, there really isn't a whole lot more to add to that. We're not going to do like the heathen. We're not just going to keep praying and praying and praying and praying the same old prayer. I heard one man say, dear Lord, that if you really have faith, one prayer will be sufficient. And so, Lord, our final prayer here at Blood River Radio tonight is please give us discernment to know your will. Let us do your will. Lord, it is said that it is impossible to serve you without faith. It is also said that faith without works is dead. Anyway, Lord, please bless Blood River Radio, bless Liberty News Radio, all of our brothers and sisters that work with us, all of our brothers and sisters out there listening audience. And I ask all this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. People, also, as you know, usually after the prayer, and look, people, I hope you take that prayer to heart, because I can tell you with 100% certainty, there is a God. There is a God of the King James Bible. I would not tell you that if I had not experienced it with my own self. God saved my sorry soul. And I know it may sound like one of the black preachers, Southern, you know how emotional they get. But God kind of took my head and slammed it into the concrete back in 2007. And brought me from the very depths of hell. I can tell you it really happened. And I'm not have nothing to sell. I'm just telling you that for your own benefit. So if you get where you're so desperate that there's no place else to go, that's when sometimes God does that. He'll do you like he did me. He'll bring you down to where you're just, you just don't think you can ever come back. And that's when you're ready for him to work with you. So go to, anytime you get really down, better, hopefully you'll do it before you get that bad. But anyway, I'd just like to pass that on to you. But also, listen, I'd like to go tell you about our donors. Our donors have been, say, I was just telling Matt before we came on that about in tears, I'm a real emotional SOB. And you know what? I'm only going to have to finance a whole lot of money out of my own pocket to go down here to Pensacola next week. But, you know, we had Jim Zim, solid as a rock. He donates every month. And he also sent me money for my birthday. He sent money to help finance our trip to Pensacola. James in Washington, the next. James in Washington, he donated to us to go to Florida. Also, I've got another list of people over here. Ken of New York. Jason Robb of Harrison, Arkansas. Steve in Baltimore. All helped finance this trip. They really did. And people, let's see, Steve in Maryland? I hope I didn't leave him out. But anyway, listen, I'm going to read. Here's an old letter. I saw this. This is an old letter, but I've got to reread it. This means so much to me. This came from one of the fellows we kind of prayed with together this week. I call it a prayer anyway. Jimmy, the guy I was just talking about in Washington State. Well, this letter was dated August the 16th, 2020. He says, "Dear Eddie, I always enjoy listening to you on Blood River Radio, Eddie. Blood River Radio goes where others fear to tread. Your anniversary shows on Charlottesville were outstanding, Eddie. There is no doubt that the good people who went to Charlottesville simply went to show support for the Robert E. Lee statue. There would have been no violence if the authorities had done their job and kept Antifa away from the court-approved assembly." God wouldn't trade anything for that letter. Here's another quick letter from Jason Robb of Arkansas. And he does not care about his name being out there. He ain't scared. But anyway, it says, this came from Jason Robb. "Dear Eddie, please find and close the check for donation to the radio. Use this for travel expenses to Florida for the United States Ship Liberty if need to. Keep up the great work and be safe in Florida. Jason M. Robb, attorney at law in Christian Bond." Also, I've got to read this. One of our, let's see, Ken from Maryland. Ken, and excuse me, who's in Maryland? Steve in Maryland. He wrote me a long letter. He writes long letters. I don't have time to read this, but here's a letter. I'll take this letter to my grave right here. This letter here came from our dear brother, Jim Zim. He is in the Military Order of the Purple Heart. He was wounded in combat in Vietnam. He's been there, like I always said, up person. He's seen the enemy. He's seen them eyeball to eyeball. He says, "Eddie, I heard you your always great show on May 15th. I found some extra money to help finance your trip to Pensacola, Florida. If you can wake up even a few white people to the truth, it's worth every cent. I feel honored to be the friend and brother of the happy warrior fighting for our people. Thanks for never quitting. Eddie, be safe, my brother." I'm going to mount that letter, people. I really am. And listen, I'm going to read one more note I got I'm going to pull it up. It won't take me a bit of a second. From the general. Okay, this is in my phone. The general sent me this today. I told you about it. I was going down to Florida. I've been checking on him, been worried about him. He just got back to Croatia from God only knows where. And also, what he wrote me is on my wall right now. "An unspoken truth is worse than a lie." And I've got that General Nick, May of 2021. He says, "The men of the USS Liberty must not be forgotten. Sincere regards on my behalf and greetings from Croatian vets. Dus volt." That's Latin for God wills it. He said, "We'll certainly pray for you. You don't need a speechwriter. You have the courage and above all the faith to witness the truth without embellishment. They couldn't have picked a better man for this historic truly historic association. My God, I wish I could frame that. I really appreciate the general's, I'm honored by his confidence in this lowly yoke combat medic. Well, anyway, people, let's see, what else? We got a few more announcements here, people. And also, I want to ask all the people out there that are prayers, that are believing God, I want to ask you to pray for me. I want you to pray, and Matt Goodwin knows this. Please pray that I never, ever get an ego. I don't ever want to get arrogant. You know, I just can't stand somebody who's arrogant and has an ego like that. I guess I shouldn't say that about being a Christian, but it's really, I hope and pray I never do that. Because if you do, people, God will bring you down. And I've been down, and I never want to go back down again as low as I've been. So please, God, pray that I'll never get arrogant. God, you know what? God hates a proud look. Anyway, I'm going to repeat that again. What General Lick said, an unspoken truth is worse than a lie. So if you hold back anything, that's why we like this show. That's why we swore we would always be hardcore and always tell the truth. As I just said, one more announcement. Thank God. Thank you, people, for all our supporters out there. You got me in tears just about. Without you people sending the money in, I couldn't be going down there to the Survivors Union. And also, we're going to be broadcasting Thursday and or Friday. Then Saturday, we're going to be on 2 hours on Blood River Radio. And then, get this, we're going to pull a Charlottesville. From people, when we come back to this break, I'll finish these announcements. I'm going kind of long, so please forgive me because we got some great guests coming on tonight. Hold on. Be right back with finishing announcements.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
People, welcome back. I'm gonna make these announcements real quick. Like, this is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and it's kind of long. I'm going long tonight because we had a lot of announcements to make, and I had absolutely positively had to thank our dear brothers and sisters that have really so loyal to us. They're the ones that kept this show in the air. They're the ones that sent me down to go to see the survivors. And I'm gonna tell you flat out, people, this trip down here, it ain't about Eddie Miller. It ain't about Blood River Radio. It ain't about Liberty News. It ain't about the TPC. We're gonna be broadcasting on TPC. for a couple of hours on the political success pool. James, we're going to have James is going to let us do just like we did up at Charlottesville. Up at Montgomery Bell. So we're going to be carrying those sailors. We're giving them about at least 4 hours on Saturday, and we got to get the word out about it. And we'll tell you later about what the word is. Also, one more thing. I'd like you to remember this. This is something else is on my wall that Miss Cornelia in South Africa said. You'll hear me say this a lot. If not us, who will? Anyway, folks, that's all pretty much all the announcements. We have Matt Goodwin on, and we're going to have Fred Leutcher on later. We're having a little trouble getting him on, but we also have Mr. Jim Rizzoli. And so we're going to roll without Fred right now. And I know Fred got the speak to Matt last week, but not very long. But now I'm going to welcome back on, Matt. I'm going to introduce you to Jim. So tell us about what you've been doing, Matt, and then we'll introduce you to Jim.
Well, right now I'm playing like Nehemiah. I'm working with one hand and going to war with the other, basically. I'm out of my property, just doing a lot of work outside and enjoying God's creation. But it's a pleasure to be back on. Thank you for having me, and I'm really interested to talk about some key topics tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a blessing to me, Matt. You know, the first day I saw you when we went to Charlottesville together, within 2 days, I knew you were going to be, if you would, I was hoping you would be a part of the Blood River Radio Enterprises. That we have a lot, and my vision is, or our vision, I don't like that word. It sounds too egotistical, but I would like to have it someday where the radio program is just one part of the stuff we do. But anyway, Jim, we have Jim Rizzoli on tonight, and he's going to be conversing back and forth with Matt because Matt has a bunch of questions. How are you doing tonight, Jim?
I'm doing just fine, having a good time doing my video stuff, making videos exposing my friends out there, you know, the tribe.
Yes, sir. Well, Jim, if you will, give us a quick bio. I know you've made movies, you've been on radio, you've interviewed all the heavy hitters in the revisionist, historical revisionist movement, all of them. You know, you've interviewed everyone, especially even the ones that are now deceased. So go ahead, give us a quick bio, Jim.
Well, basically, I'm a publicist, I suppose I would say, a videographer, publicist. I specialize in getting information out to the masses, information that's going to red pill them so they understand what's going on in the world today. My specialty is really dealing with World War II, historical revisionism, and the aspect that I deal with is particularly the Holocaust. And what I do is I go through the internet, I go through paper, I go through video, I go through everything. I repackage the information, take it from sites, put it together, and Diane and I, my partner, we get it out to the masses. And I have about 350 people on an email list that I encourage people to get on. And then they get the latest and the greatest information dealing with the topics that I feel is very important for them to know.
Well, you know what, people, I'll let you know, I've talked to Jim before on and off the radio, and he's just like us, me and Matt. He's a firebrand. I mean, what people will call a firebrand. I consider that just hardcore man. But, you know, Matt, I know you had some questions for Fred, but I can tell you what, there's not much that you could ask Jim that he doesn't know, because Jim and Fred Leutcher and Jürgen Neumann, and Monica, they're all like, they're in a brotherhood, sisterhood. He knows, I'm almost, I doubt if there's anything you can ask him about the Holocaust or anything else he didn't know. So go ahead and give some of your questions to Jim, Matt, if you don't mind.
Well, first of all, thank you for coming on, Jim. It's really a pleasure to talk with you. Any questions I had toward Fred, I think you're fully capable of answering, and I'm actually very intrigued to know what you'd say too, given now that I know a little bit about your background and what you do. We'll just get right off the bat here. Let me just start with a fun one here. I was working at a job one time, and I was talking to a man, and he told me that he went and saw Auschwitz, And I couldn't be right in my views about how it's lies have been surrounding this story, this narrative. I couldn't possibly be right because he actually went to Auschwitz and saw the showers that were made into gas chambers. And of course, he saw them with his own two eyes. So what would you say to him?
Well, first of all, there were no gas chambers. And there were, and you don't put showers in gas chambers. Okay? So so here's what he saw, okay? He did see something. I'm not saying he didn't see anything. He saw showers and something else. But he never saw a gas chamber because there was no gas chambers. But he did see showers. So his interpretation of it was he saw showers in a gas chamber. And he could say he could have saw showers on the moon. I mean, that's up to him. But he did see showers because they had plenty of showers in Auschwitz because the people had to take showers because they had a problem with lice. So I don't deny he saw that.
You mean people took showers back in 1943?
Yeah. Yeah, they had soap and water back then.
Actually, you know what? That's exactly what I told him. I said, you know, friend, I said, how do you know that you just didn't see a shower? And all the offense came across his face when I said that. I think I challenged his worldview just a little. Twisted the brain, I guess, is how they would say it.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, people have these preconceived notions that, oh, well, I went on a tour and I saw that. Or there's right. So many books and movies out there about this. It can't possibly be a lie. And that was, I was going to get back to that when Fred, on his first interview, he talked about how could this be a lie? He actually said he couldn't see it being untrue. He said he couldn't sense. It doesn't make sense that it would be a lie. It's kind of his own words of how he
said
it.
Well, the question is, see, when I talk to somebody, I have to find out what did you see, okay? And I have to really get down to what is the problem here, okay? Now, you have to ask me the question, what am I saying now? I deny people died? No, people died. I'm not denying that. Do I deny people were put in morgues? No, I don't deny that either. Do I deny there were crematoria? No, people were burned in crematoria when they died. See, but I deny there were homicidal gas chambers. Nobody ever saw a homicidal gas chamber. And what happened here is they just got everything confused in what they saw. Some people look at crematoria as gas chambers. Some people look at the morgues as a gas chamber. You see, it all depends how they define it. They saw something. I'm not denying they saw something. It's what they saw, okay? And there's where the confusion lies. There were no homicidal gas chambers. That's been proven no problem at all with Fred Lucha. He went there, he examined the buildings. These buildings were not gas chambers, but they did see something. So we can agree on that, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was when Fred was assigned or appointed by Mr. Ernst Zundel, that was exactly the point where he was at, was it doesn't make sense that it would be a lie. So he's going to take his expertise and go and be an expert witness. And my question is, let's fast forward. I want to hit some more relevant today, right now, topic of how do we get people to cross the barrier of recognizing that they've been lied to? How do we get them to wake up about...
Hold that answer till we come back, Jim. We have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back, people. You're listening to Matt Goodwin and Mr. Jim Rosoli. We're getting ready to bring Mr. Fred Lucha on very soon, hopefully. Thank you. Hang on to your seats.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The battle lines are drawn along party lines over President Biden's new $6 trillion budget. Biden says he's going to raise the corporate tax rate to 28%. Some of the wealthiest would pay nearly 40% on capital gains, but that would leave the U.S. nearly $2 trillion less than it would spend. President Biden says it's worth it if it helps grow the economy, rebuild infrastructure, and free people from the pandemic. Biden was once again on location, this time paying tribute to military members past and present in a pre-Memorial Day address.
You make up 1% of the population. You're defending 99% of the rest of us.
The president was speaking to enlisted troops at Virginia's Joint Base Langley Eustis. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn, and I'm in the best shape of my life. I love working out hard every day, but I turned 60 this year, and working out can cause some serious aches and pains. I was commiserating with my buddy Jay Schrader, the Super Bowl champion and former Raiders quarterback, about the challenges of staying in great shape for anyone over age 50. Jay said I had to try SonsOfLibertyCBD.com, and it would heal my body, mind, and soul. He was right. No more aches and pains. I feel like $1 million. Finding quality CBD, not easy, but Sons of Liberty CBD, highest quality CBD I've ever seen. CBD is not pot. It won't get you high. It's 100% legal. It's 100% American made. CBD is mainstream and it works. For my listeners, SonsOfLibertyCBD.com is offering a discount of 15% off every product if you use the code WAR15 at checkout. Even better, you can combine this discount with their subscription discount for 25% off. Please support veteran-owned, service-disabled, small business, Sons of Liberty, CBD.com. Just say WAR15 to get 25% off.
A U.S. policy is now in danger of disappearing. USA's Mike Fortier explains.
President Biden's $6 trillion budget for 2022 does not include the Hyde Amendment. That's the policy first passed into law in 1976 that bans federal funding for most abortions. Kansas City Archbishop Joseph Nauman is chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities. He says this is part of a shift starting with the Affordable Care Act to redefine abortion as health care.
Once you define it as health care, they're no longer, if people are paying attention, they're not talking about choice anymore. They're talking about imposing abortion on everyone. Everyone has to cooperate, but it's not health care. Health care doesn't destroy life.
Nauman telling Currents News this week, repealing the Hyde Amendment will lead to more abortions, especially among minorities. Planned Parenthood says it will remove the government from the personal health care decisions of people with low incomes. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Welcome back, people, dear Blood River Radio people. Welcome back. I hope you have a nice Memorial Day weekend. I think I'll have to agree with James. I kind of lean toward the Memorial Day being, in some ways, being a Yankee holiday, because I'll tell you what, every war that we've ever had has pretty much been a money war. And if it's a money war, it pretty much has to be a Jewish war, because you show me a dollar and I'll show you a Jew that's behind 90 cents of that dollar. But I've got to say this one more time. I'm notorious for repeating stuff. An unspoken truth is worse than a lie. Quote, General Nick Glasnevik, May of 2021. And I'm going to chip in. We have Matt Goodwin. And we have Jim Rosolion, and they were talking about why is it so hard to convince people, the truth, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was either Will Rogers or Mark Twain that said it best, I think. They said it's much, much harder. Excuse me. He said it's much easier to convince. Here it goes. It's much harder to convince a man that he's been lied to than to something like that. It's easier to convince. Well, here it is. Hey, I got it, people. Excuse my old brain. It's easier to lie to a man than it is to convince him that he's been lied. I'd hell with it. I'll think about it in a minute, y'all. Go ahead. In other words, it's hard. You cannot convince a person.
We know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. What's a person been lied to?
People, doesn't it boil down to people's egos? I mean, they have this ego that they know the truth, the absolute truth, and anything that challenges that, it furrows their brows.
Bingo.
Yeah. So, Mr. Jim, I was going to ask you, so how are we going to convince our brethren, our people, to wake up from this lie that they've been lied to, this hollow hoax that has been created, this big narrative that's been created to demonize the Germanic peoples and the descendants of this country? How are we going to wake these people up? And if you can answer this in a multi-generational way, like how do we wake up the boomer generation, but also the millennial and then the younger generation?
Well, the generation now is starting to wake up. Okay, that's one thing I think that's happening. I think they're starting to see a lot of nonsense that's going on in the world, and they don't like it. But in regards to people waking up to anything, I mean, it's just like waking up to Christ or waking up to God, the Bible, and all this. You have to have the right heart condition. If you don't have the right heart condition, you're not going to wake up to anything. And that these people don't have the right heart condition. And here's the thing about us. I do not force and bang over the head my information to people. I just throw a little sample out. I see how they accept it. If they accept it, then I run with it. If they don't accept it, then I know they don't have the right heart condition. You can't keep convincing people if they don't have the right heart condition. So don't bang your head against the wall thinking that these people, they're not seeing it. Why aren't they seeing it? Because they don't have the right heart condition to see it. Okay? And that has to do with, you know, being brainwashed for years and years and years, because their heart has been hardened. Just like the Jews in the Bible, their heart was hardened, okay? And they couldn't accept Christ when he came, you know, way back when. They just couldn't accept him, all right? And Jesus, he was good to them, and he was nice to them. And you saw how he dealt with them. So when we deal with people, we got to deal with them. You know, we can't be mean to them if they don't accept it. Like people will say to me, well, what about all the bodies? You say there was no Holocaust. Well, first of all, I don't say people didn't die. I'm not saying that. You're saying that. People died. I already admitted that. But it's how they died. And then another thing I say to people, you know, like say they're looking at all these bodies, a pile of bodies. I says, oh, you must have went to school to be a forensic expert, because you can look at a pile of bodies and you can tell me how those people died. Not only can you tell me how they died, you can tell me what nationality they are. How do you know those people in that pile of bodies aren't Jewish or aren't German or aren't Lithuanian or aren't whatever they are? But all of a sudden you think they're all Jewish. I mean, you see what I'm saying? People think they know things and they don't know anything, because the heart is hardened, and you have to just soften up their heart little by little. But some people, it doesn't work. I mean, you could talk to them till the cows come home, because they're just so brainwashed. I mean, what are you going to do? I look at people one person at a time. You know, some people say, well, you know, you think we're going to get everybody to see this? That's not my position in life, to get the world to see this. My position in life is just to do the job that I've been given to do, just like Jesus was given the job to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That was his position. He did it. You know, he wasn't there to convert the world, and he didn't convert the world. He just presented it. I presented it. That's all I can do. If their hearts, they have good hearts, they're good people, they're eventually going to see it. God will draw them to the message. I'm not worried about it. I have to be the one that gets the message out and try my best to do it. That's my job. I only care about my job. I don't care about where they're coming from, whatever. I just present it. Hopefully, they'll react to it. That's all I can do.
Well, that's absolutely correct, I think. But let me play devil's advocate just a little bit. Isn't it a need of ours to convince people that Adolf Hitler was not the monster that he is portrayed as. Because as a part of being that, like as Monica Schaefer says, that linchpin lie directed against us, isn't it important that people realize that there were people who were fighting fighting white men who were standing up for their people? It doesn't matter that they were successful or not. I come from the Southeast in America. We had many Confederates who stood up against this tyrannical regime known as American Empire. You know, I'm proud of that fact. And if we can just get people to realize it has nothing to do about all this garbage of the pill pulling that they try to pull us into, it has nothing to do with it. What do you say to that?
Well, again, I mean, you just, you know, like about Hitler, okay, your question about Hitler, okay? 99.9% of people, if you ask them about Hitler, they're going to say he was a bad guy, okay? Now, why do they believe that? Because they've been so brainwashed about it. Now, do you ever see pictures of Hitler with animals, patting the dog, patting the animals, hugging the kids, holding the kids, holding flowers? Have you ever seen pictures like that? Have yourself? Have you?
Yes. He had a German Shepherd, and he was also taking many opportunities of pictures with kids.
Right, but most people don't see that. Most people see a picture of Hitler with his mouth open and his hand up, and he's screaming, okay, or whatever.
And he's screaming a Germanic language, which to English sounds absolutely aggressive.
Well, that's the only picture they have of Hitler. So what do you expect these people to believe? You know, I mean, think about Hitler. He was a vegetarian, all right? He didn't want to eat animals because he had a passion for animals. He didn't want to kill animals, all right? He was a very smart man. In fact, he was probably this is serious. I'm being serious now. Other than Jesus, he was probably one of the second greatest men that ever was on this earth. I'm serious, because he was so smart, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do for the white race. He knew exactly what they needed. He knew exactly what had to be done, and he felt that he was being used by God to get these people off their asses to do something, and he was trying to do it. And I mean, that's what his purpose was. I mean, think about it. Did you see Hitler living in a big mansion? Was he driving big cars? I mean, he only drove the cars that they gave him to drive. He didn't drive, I don't think, any car. But I mean, he didn't have a lot of stuff. He if you ever saw the stuff in Hitler's room, you'd say, "My, this guy is a pauper." I mean, he was just a simple man that had a purpose, that wanted to save the white race against the Jewish onslaught that was destroying the world at the time. And he tried his best. That's all I can say. He tried.
So is it our job to try to teach people that, or is it our job just to let the chips fall where they may?
Well, how do you do it? Are you going to go to school to teach people about Hitler? How are you going to do it?
Well, guys, when we come back to this break, I'll tell you what Jesus said about that great question. Anytime there's any doubt, go to the Bible, son. There's nothing that you can confront that's not answered in the Bible. People, you're listening to a great, great dialogue between Matt and Jim. We'll be right back. Hang on.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Do you feel lucky, punk? Well, we're lucky tonight, but I tell you what, it's better to be blessed than to be lucky. People, I'm going to answer one of these questions our guys were talking about during the break. Here's what Jesus said about convincing people and begging, oh, please, 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 1,000 times. Witness them to them every day for 50 years if you have to. Here's what Jesus said. This is in Matthew 10. I'm going to skip down to verse 11. He says, into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, not hear your words when you depart. And whosoever shall not receive you, not hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for the city. And I'm going to tell you flat out. I'll tell these suckers one time, these weak, willy, milquetoast-fed punks, I'll tell them what's going on in South Africa, because that's the only place they probably don't know. And I'll point around, and they can see what happened in Charlottesville. We still have men in prison there for just defending themselves against a bunch of feral animals. Look what's happened to Minneapolis, St. Paul. Look what happened to our own statues here in Memphis. Look what happened, to Shannon Christian and Christian Newsom up near Knoxville at one time. Nary a whimper about that. Look what happened in Portland, Oregon. Look what happened up there. Look what happened to C.I. Washington. And if they can't see that, then I say to hell with them. Shake the dust off your feet. And don't waste your time on those fools, man. Spend your time, spend all your energy witnessing to the people. Get that few. Because God himself, Jesus himself, said that the road to destruction is wide and well marked. That's kind of a paraphrase. But the road to salvation is narrow, and few thereof will follow. That's my little speech. Now back to you. Back to you, Matt. I think you were talking when we went to break, son.
Yeah. Well, I'll do a follow up to that. When there's a passage that Jesus is asking the crowd about, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A man wearing camel skin and eating locusts or something like that. Do you remember that passage? Jesus knew what those people were going out to the wilderness to see. It wasn't for the common things of life. They were going to get the word and receive the bread of life. So,
amen.
Anyway, then that was the people who wanted to go out to the wilderness. It wasn't the 99%. It's that little sliver that Jesus came to preach and to redeem. And, definitely. So Jim, I was talking to you about how do we wake people up, and right. Is it our responsibility to talk about Adolf Hitler, or should we leave that subject alone if they don't seem like they're ready to receive that topic?
Well, it's a topic you really got to be careful with. It. I mean, you want people to understand about it, but it's still. I mean, how do you bring it up in a conversation? I mean, you know, think about it. It's not an easy topic to bring up in a conversation. I find talking about the Holocaust is easier than talking about Hitler. Okay, because Hitler, you got to understand, he's looked at as a demon. Okay, so when you bring up Hitler, you're talking about a demon in their eyes. Okay, now the Holocaust is a little different because now you're talking about a historical event that, you know, you can sneak in little you know comments about something however you can do it. It's not an easy thing to even do there. So you get a spoon feed, just like in the Bible. It talks about giving the milk. You give people a little bit at a time. You can't, bounce them over the head with it all. But a little bit at a time, you give them a little information about, well, you know, did you know this or did you know that? Or, you know, did you know that, you know, the Americans didn't get into Auschwitz until 10 years later? Do you know that? See, because, Americans got into Auschwitz right away. No, they didn't. It was 10 years later, so the Soviets had 10 years to make it into horror Disneyland. Okay. So you just feed them little stuff like this. Oh, do you know that the rumors that they say they were gas chambers? They weren't gas chambers. They were morgues. These rooms were morgues. They had dead people in them. See, people just looked into the room and they saw dead people. They assumed they were a gas chamber, but it wasn't a gas chamber. It was a morgue. See, you have to try to feed them a little bit of what the truth is and to get them to think, oh, really? It was a morgue? Oh, he said it was a gas chamber. Well, he misinterpreted what he was saying because there was no gas chambers. You see, you feed people little by little and get back to the break. The kids are being so brainwashed in this school. I mean, really? They don't even know what sex they are. I mean, come on. And you're gonna educate them with this, topic here. And that's why the schools have to, feed them with their Holocaust nonsense, because the kids are so dumbed down that they have to give them they gotta feed them more stupidity. I mean, they just give them nonsense. Okay, and then, but see, the kids today, some of them rebellious, but in a good way. You know, they'll say, "Well, I don't buy that. I don't believe that." That's what they're afraid of. The Jews are afraid of them. They don't like the kids that question, that say, "I don't believe 6 million people died. I don't believe that there were gas chambers." See, oh, they hate that. Once the kids get that in their craw, oh my goodness, they're going to run with that like nobody's business. And that's why they have to force feed them this information. You know, it's like feeding a baby food. You know, they got to force it in them because they know if they don't do this, these kids can go in the other direction. And it's a sad situation. So the school system is completely lost. Forget about the kids. And the adults, that's a whole other story, because the adults have been so brainwashed for so many years, it's hard to get them to understand, what's going on. But you do it little by little. That's how you do it.
That's why I wanted a multi-generational answer, because I think there's definitely a divide between the older and the younger and how they're receiving this. But if I were to be able to tell the young people anything, I would tell them that when I started studying history 15 years ago in school and started taking a serious interest and went to college and took a history degree, I never knew back then that history could be so dangerous.
Right, yeah.
I didn't realize I was getting into a dangerous occupation. Let me follow that with asking you, have you had any type of suffering in your life for your beliefs?
Oh, none.
Oh, none at all. I haven't been put in jail or anything like that. But I had my own business, and most of the people that I worked for were Jews. 75-80% of the people I worked for were Jews, and the reason why they liked me was because I was honest. I dealt with them honestly. I treated a rich Jew and a poor Jew the same. I didn't treat, the poor Jew, if they had no money, I might give them a better break maybe, you know, because they had no money. But I mean, I didn't take advantage of people. Okay, so they liked me. So they gave me work from all the other Jews. Okay, so now once I started doing my TV show and I started getting on TV and started talking about the Holocaust, then they started seeing, you know, oh boy, you know, in other words, they gave me the work of the Jews, then they took away the work of the Jews, and then I lost 75% of my business. Okay, so they try to economically destroy me, which they couldn't do. But that's how the Jews work, okay? I've never been hurt by anybody. I was attacked one day. I was running for state rep, and I was getting signatures, and an older Jew guy attacked me. You know, he signed his signature because you got to get so many signatures to run. So he signed it, and he goes, "What's your name?" I go, "Oh, Jim Rizzoli." He goes, "Oh no, you take my name off that." And he tried to rip up my paper, and he's fighting with me out in front of the Walgreens in my town. And I mean, that's the only time I was assaulted by a Jew. And I eventually took him to court. Okay. I could have nailed this guy. I could have nailed him, but I was forgiven. I forgave this guy. Okay. He could have went to jail for what he did. He assaulted me. Okay. And not only that, he ripped up my paper that had the signatures on it, which is against the law. Okay, so I go to court with this guy, and I'm in court with him now, and, you know, the magistrate, "Oh, come on, just let it go, you know, forgive him." Yeah, do you think this Jew would forgive me if I try to rip up his paper getting signatures? This guy would have thrown me in jail for 10 years. You know? So yeah, I'm just telling you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love legal warfare. That's what they love. They did it in the Bible, actually. You can read in Acts, the early chapters in Acts, what they did to, is it Peter and John? They basically took them in before the council in the early chapters of Acts, and then they threaten them, and then they tell them, "Don't tell anyone what you're telling people." You know, then they question them on the law and everything. It's an ancient tradition of the Jewish people.
Right.
Ask where you're from originally. Like, where were you born?
Well, I live in Framingham, Massachusetts, and I've been here all my life pretty much. I mean, I didn't move out of town for 10 years. I got married and ended up, got divorced later, but that's a whole nother story. Won't get into that.
I asked that because down southeast, we have a big problem with waking people up about the Jewish people because a lot of people are just not in contact with a lot of Jews down
That's
here.
Right.
They are, but they don't realize they are. Because the Jewish people are very good about not looking religiously Jewish out in public. Typically.
Guys,
in the Southeast don't realize. You go somewhere like New York.
We're almost out of time. I'm just going to remind y'all, we're getting ready to transition to the second hour. I'll just get y'all to, but I would like to chime in before we go for the second hour to kind of go to Matt's. Matt, you said that you were glad that Jim answered a question kind of multi-generationally. Well, I'd like to point out to people that Hitler had, he had the Germans, he appealed to the multi-generations there in Germany. He had people in the Hitler Youth that were willing to die. As a matter of fact, there was kids, 12, 14, 16 years old, that died at the Battle of Berlin. He had old people, guys that were 60, 70 years old fighting in the front lines. And when, you know, and we were saying, how do we get these people? Our country looks like it's such a mess. Adolf Hitler, and they asked Hitler the same thing. How did you think you could rescue the German people? They were such dregs of society. You know, Berlin was a hotbed of prostitution and everything. He said, "I looked at those people and saw what they could be." Well, that people, while we're going to the break, we're going to come right back. And Matt and Jim are going to continue this dynamite conversation, people. So please stay with us to the second hour.